Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. Proclaiming the gospel in diverse and challenging environments is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
We'd like to welcome Dr. Brent Smith to Lutheran Radio today. Dr. Smith is the Regional Director for Eurasia, the Office of International Missions for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Smith, that's quite a grand title. Can you tell us a little bit, perhaps a brief summary about what that actually means? What are your duties?
Well, thanks for having me here again on Lutheran Radio UK, the third time, actually. It's a pleasure. Yeah, we know the mission is really God's mission, and but we use these terms like regional director to describe geographic areas of responsibility, to supervise, to encourage, to help recruit in place missionaries, educators, theological educators for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so when we use the term Eurasia, we're referring to Europe, former Soviet Union, parts of the Middle East, and so we have a nice team serving there. In fact, this week in St. Louis, new missionaries are receiving orientation, they're receiving training, being prepared to be sent to the ends of the earth to share Jesus Christ with the nations.
So you talk about missions and overseeing the work here in Europe and in Asia. Why would the church be involved in missions, and what is missions? What's the driving force behind that?
The church is involved in missions because we have a missionary God. God has revealed His Word. He's the first sender, if you will. He sent Himself. He sent Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the world, to take on the sins of the world, and then He sent empowered His church by sending the Holy Spirit. To share that powerful message with the nations in an inviting, in an appropriate way, in the language of the people. And so really from one's baptism, where the Word of God with water is washes our sins away, it delivers to us in time the forgiveness that Christ earned on the cross, it delivers that to us individually, clear up to today in the 21st century. From that point as well, as the Word of God conceives faith in our heart, we're sent forth to share this great gift, that's appropriated by faith, with the world, with our neighbors, with our relatives, wherever God has us going in our various life roles. And so that's, in a nutshell, what missions is all about. It's about sharing Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ, with the nations.
Now, as I speak to folks, one of the criticisms I often hear about the Lutheran Church is, you're not a mission church. Martin Luther was not interested in missions. The Lutheran Church really isn't a missionary church. Is that a fair criticism?
It's a debate. I suppose it's a debate that's carried on for a number of centuries. There's a couple works out of late that helps to argue that, well, of course, it's how you define mission if you narrowly define it. The great thing, I think, about the Lutheran Church, it's not unique to Lutherans, but it is a major emphasis, comes out of the Reformation, and that's on the Word of God. See, God is not bound Himself, but He's really bound the Church to sharing the good news through His Word. We read, we're reminded in the third article of, in the small catechism, third article of the Creed, where it's not by my own understanding or strength that I can believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. So how does the mission of God, how is it carried out in the world? Well, this explanation to this part of the Creed continues to say, but instead the Holy Spirit calls me, you know, through the gospel. Through the Word of God, right? It's that Holy Spirit through this Word that enlightens me with His gifts that makes me holy, that even then goes on to keep us in the one true faith. And so just as he calls and gathers and enlightens and makes holy the whole Christian church, it's through the Word of God that the Spirit carries out his mission in the world and conceives faith in the hearts of people.
That being said, do you have any sort of examples that you could share with us of how that's actually happening and taking place throughout Europe and Asia?
Yeah, this is one of the joys of being a regional director. You get to encourage the frontline people that are really out there sharing the Word of God in a variety of ways. Lay people and clergy, educators. In fact, I just received in reports, what I would say, sharing the Word of God in academic style. So in May, in Siberia, for example, one of the teachers at a Lutheran seminary out in Siberia, his name is Pastor Alexei Streltsov, he was invited, and this may surprise some of the hearers of Lutheran Radio UK, because some still think of, say, Russia or Siberia as places very closed, very, very difficult for non-Christians, for non-Orthodox Christians to be working. But here in this place, the University of Novosibirsk, the pedagogical department invited Pastor Streltsov in to speak at a conference to share God's Word. The topic or the theme given to him was East and West, cultural, social, and religious dimensions. So he gave a paper which gives a chance to expose university students clearly by sharing the Word in an academic style, but it exposes them nonetheless to the good news of Jesus Christ and challenge them to wrestle with the truth claims of Christianity. And this being done in such a context is Siberia, Russia. That's a great example. They have more opportunities to take the gospel, which I suppose someone would say is when they think about mission, most would think, well, this is inside the church, from the pulpit, through the font, the primary place, which for sure it is a primary place where the gospel is proclaimed in the worship service, in the divine service, the assembly of Christians. But in the example I just shared, this is also how the mission of God is carried out, by taking that gospel outside of the church walls into the community as invited, into the universities, going toe-to-toe, if you will, with academia. Through that, this living and active Word of God, the Spirit conceives faith in the heart of people. I have another example sharing the Word, maybe not so much in a high academic style, but in a very practical way among youth and children that are attending Lutheran schools. So we have a young lady who's been serving in Sopron, Hungary, and she wrote recently in one of her news blog newsletters, she noticed because of the end of the year, people are, school's about out, exams are coming, and she saw people are starting to get tired. So she pulls from Matthew 11, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, how do you maybe make that text, that promise from Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, real in the lives of youth, of high school students, and et cetera? I thought that Melissa is her name. She had a very creative idea, because what she did, she brought in a student, had them volunteer, and went up against the wall. And I don't know how it's called here in the UK, but we would call this do a squat against the wall, which is an exercise that doesn't take long to notice that your legs are burning, and this is very difficult to do for an extended period of time. People in sports and athletics who are in intense training training can vouch for this. Well, what she did is she took an extra weight on top of that, right, and put it on the student. So the student is holding himself up against the wall in a squatting position, holding this extra burden, and then she reads this text. And as she's reading this text, she's taking this heavy extra weight, you know, off of the student. And it really illustrated in a very practical, you know, sharing the word in a very practical, hands-on, almost dramatic way, so that that youth was engaged with this awesome promise that Jesus continues to fulfill today, that he invites that student, but he invites the nations to come to him, to put their burdens on him, and that really and ultimately and eternally only Christ can give true rest. So those are a couple examples, very different, academic, very practical, oriented towards a different age group, that one can proclaim the same good news in a variety of ways. And that's what's happening in Eurasia today and really in the ends of the earth.
Just from your two examples there, and also from your discussion of the areas that you oversee, it seems to me that even though the message is always the same, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and is risen and lives and reigns forever, and that we're saved by grace through faith in him alone, we receive the free forgiveness of our sins, that how one goes about working with people in that entire area that you oversee has to be quite different. I mean, the two examples you've given have been from former Soviet communist countries, but I know that you do a lot of work in Western Europe as well. Folks who view themselves as Christian, although we live in a very post-Christian world. And you also do work down in Islamic countries in the Middle East. Can you perhaps shed some light for us on the different ways that you might, or the missionaries that you oversee, go about sharing the message of Christ? You've given us some examples in communist, former Soviet countries, how that happens perhaps in the de-Christianized West, as well as in the Islamic Middle East?
Well, I do have two concrete examples and of where church bodies, Lutheran Christians from different parts of the world, have come together in large events inside of churches and out in the community. One example of that is throughout Western and Central Europe, Lutherans and Lutheran churches hosted an a cappella choir from Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska. And this a cappella choir worked well over a year, and their music tour coordinator, to ensure that each of the, I believe, 20-plus locations where they would perform, or let me say, proclaim the word of God through music, that would be done intentionally among the saints in churches, but also out in the community. So, for example, on Pentecost weekend, when there's a tremendous amount of activities in Frankfurt am Main in Germany, they held a Sunday evening concert inside of Trinity Lutheran Church, an international congregation that's there. And then the next day on Monday, though, they received permission in the Romerplatz, which is the historic city square where a number of activities were taking place. There's a stage, and to take their concert out into the city square. And so hundreds of people standing out there, umbrellas up because of the spring rains, but got to hear that same word of God out in the community. And they did this over 20 different times, working inside the church, outside in the community, to take the word to the nations, and to also encourage people for conversation. One major event where really Lutherans were the guests, the participants of a larger event, was Kirchentag. It's church days that takes place every couple of years by the broader evangelical or Protestant community, and there our partner church, the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany, took and rented booths for their seminary. They were there as part of their church activities, and in those church days you literally have a whole host of activities, worship services in a variety of languages, the European languages, special events, special lectures, publishers, and but one thing that really impacted me, which it was pleasant to see people lined up outside and almost circling clear around these Western European churches, waiting to get in for the special event, whether it's a concert or a divine service. But in addition to that, what was impressive is they had a lot of concerts literally out in the main streets, in the walkways, in the venues, so that the entire community of Hamburg, the event was in Hamburg this year, could listen to the message. And I believe that the Spirit of God through that word is how faith is created. And it doesn't come away void. And so those are two examples of how in Western Europe, the Word of God continues to be proclaimed. Christianity is not dead in Europe. It may have some challenging aspects and be struggling in some ways, but let's not pronounce the Bride of Christ dead in Western Europe. Clearly, as Lutheran Radio UK is an example of that, the Word of God is living and active and being proclaimed into literally the ears of thousands of people each week. So praise God for that.
You've given us some really interesting examples, whether it's in the university classroom or the high school or primary school classroom, or out in the square through music or art or even drama. I'm interested as well then to hear how in the work you're doing in the Middle East or overseeing in the Middle East, you reach into a different culture, into an area which is predominantly Islamic, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how that's being received in your work in the Middle East.
You know, the one thing that all Christians have in common with every other group of people, because it comes out of Christian belief, and look at Ephesians chapter 2. We were born dead in our sins. Dead in our sins and trespasses. The fact that we have the Holy Spirit, that we have faith, that we have been forgiven, is a gift of God, and that we praise God for that gift. So, just as we could not, on our own strength or understanding, believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him, so too those caught up in other religious systems cannot on their own come to faith in Jesus Christ. And this is why it's so important that this sending of the message and the messengers, not in a militant way, not in a mercenary way, but in a appropriate way of proclamation, that continues everywhere and among all people. It's more difficult in certain contexts. So where there's other world religions such as Islam, one has to engage differently. The rules are, we're guests. It's like playing using a sports analogy. It's like playing an away game. You know, you're on someone else's home field. And one thing that Lutherans have to help with their understanding is the two kingdoms, where there's a way of working in the left-hand kingdom, the civil realm, and expecting governments to uphold religious freedom and protect its citizens, Christian or otherwise, so that they are protected, so that they have freedom of confession. And so we encourage and interact with government leaders in these countries to say, hey, you need to protect, to enable Christian groups to assemble, to proclaim their message. And at the same time, we do not try to impose a theocratic state anywhere we work or advocate for reimposing, you know, the Mosaic laws in all of those aspects as shown in Leviticus. But we recognize there is a government realm, and then there's the right-hand kingdom, the kingdom of proclamation of the gospel, where the church works, and God reigns over both. And so we find in every one of those situations where we're working in Muslim, for example, majority contexts, that we live in that tension. And we walk through the front door, we work in alignment with the laws of the countries, and most of the Muslim majority countries where we are engaging have laws that enable the free proclamation of the gospel. And I think, if anything, what has been a weakness is actually trusting in the Spirit and the Word to go and proclaim that gospel. Lutherans, there's one thing we have very clear, and that's that non-Christians will not just be zapped, or they don't have any impulse within them to come to faith in Christ. The Word of God, the Spirit works through the Word, and that Word, God has chosen to share that Word through His church. That's the only way that the heart of a Muslim, for example, will be changed to where they see Jesus as more than a prophet. That's if the Word is shared and does its work in them.
From the description you're giving us, Dr. Smith, it sounds like there are many ways and means by which the Word of God can be proclaimed to people throughout all the varying parts of society in Europe and Asia today, from the pulpit by pastors, taught in classrooms by seminary professors or professors, used in classrooms for teachers of high school, primary folks, others who do diaconal work of service. Is that the case? How can the church continue to spread the Word of God through various means? Perhaps could you enlighten us on some other ways that maybe that I've not even mentioned or that actually occur throughout Europe and Asia at the moment?
You're exactly right. Really, Christians, they have the Holy Spirit. They've been empowered by the gospel. So the exhortation from God Himself through His Word is to be who you've been called to be, to go the extra mile, to, you know, and depending on the culture, you brought up some cultures are more sensitive or are offended by certain things. So in one context, you may have to consider not drinking alcohol because it's offensive in that culture. And I think this is what Christians have to wrestle with. What is the ultimate message they want to bring to the nations? And each individual Christian, because they have a vocation, a life role, have a great opportunity to use their gifts, use their ability to bring that ultimate message to the people around them. And so whatever one's vocation, the exhortation is to share Christ appropriately through that vocation. And the exciting part of that is that it's a communication event. And so do we want to communicate? You know, there was a time, we have an example in Scripture where in order for a message to be heard, Paul decided that Timothy needed to be circumcised so that his message was ultimately heard. So maybe, and this is what I challenge each Christian to wrestle with, is what behaviors could they continue that would enable or lower the barriers to their friends hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ?
And at our synod last year on that topic was exactly that, breaking down the barriers. And I think the church is actually very good at setting up barriers to prevent the word getting through to people. Are there any helpful suggestions you might do, or things that we may be unaware of that you've noticed from your work here in Europe, of the barriers that we do set up and how those can be torn down?
Well, sometimes I think when speaking into the civil realm that Christians could encourage the voice of government, encourage the civil realm to just do its work. So when there's a radical person that commits a violent crime against another person, Christians should encourage the government to bring that person to justice under the full extent of the law of that land. And to let the law speak, to let the law of the land speak, and to do its work, while as Christians, and especially the church, that the voice of the church emphasizes the work of Christ for all humanity. And not to confuse the two, otherwise it sounds like that Christians are trying to institute a theocracy when they're not. Apart from that, my encouragement would be to wake up, to pray that the Lord of the harvest, to pray that the Lord would give one the words to speak, to wake up in the morning, to pray that prayer, to read God's word, and to take that word, whether it's come to me all who are laboring and are heavy laden, and as Jesus says, I will give you rest, or the host of other promises from Jesus Christ. To wake up in the morning, to read that word, and to take that promise, and to share it boldly and naturally with the people around them. And then celebrate as that word does its work, and it will do its work. I mean, there are reasons, there's clear evidence where people all over the world continue to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And they're coming to faith because the people, the Christians in the church, are sharing their faith in a bold way, every day. That's the message of the scripture, and this mission thrust is to go in your life role, to share Christ, to model the forgiveness that Christ has given, to love because first God has loved us, and to remember that it's really the Spirit's work, it's God's work to conceive faith in the hearts of people. And that takes a big burden off of us, because we know that really we're tools in the instruments in the hand of God, and that it's ultimately God's responsibility and his work. And what a privilege it is for him to choose you, to choose me, to choose his church to work, to bring this life-changing message to the nations. Yeah, we were all dead in our sin, and using a different metaphor, you know, there is no nut too tough to crack, if you will. I'm an example of that, right? The Holy Spirit through the Word conceived faith in my heart. I praise God for that. So no matter how radical a person is, you know, how deeply committed to the atheist, a new atheist cause, for example, even there, God's Word can do its work. And my encouragement is that all the Christians of the ELCE, all the hearers of Lutheran Radio UK, would boldly share that word and rejoice as it brings people to faith in Christ.
Dr. Smith, we pray God's richest blessings upon you. You are indeed a wonderful friend and encouragement to the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, as well as to all of our partner churches in Europe and Asia and around the world. And we pray God's blessings upon you, your work, all the missionaries that you coordinate and supervise, and may indeed that word continue to spread and grow and be sown all over the world, and it will indeed not come back empty or void.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.